I could run around the building a couple of times on that, amen.
What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn with me to Psalms 142. Psalms chapter 142. Going to be a little different than the normal Wednesday night tonight. It's more of a Sunday morning message. And I prayed all day about what to do, and the Lord gave me a thought while we were at the emergency room the other night. And I thought it was for Sunday morning, and I woke up this morning and couldn't get it off my mind, and it's kind of a salvation message. And I thought, well, Lord, there's not going to be no lost people there on Wednesday night, probably. And he just said, trust me, so I'm going to preach what God put on my heart. And I don't care if you've been saved 50 years, salvation message shouldn't bother you. It ought to encourage you, amen. And I like to be reminded about what it is I have every now and then, amen. I want to read Psalms 142. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 142, David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. These first two verses kind of shows the spirit of David's prayer. Kind of shows the condition that he's in. There's times that we pray and it's just prayer. But there's times we come to God and we're broken and we pour out our heart before God. And that's kind of the condition where David's at. And sometimes I'm afraid we need to get there. As lost people, you've got to get there. You never get saved till you get to that point right there where you just come to God and give it everything you got. Amen. As saved people, hey, how long's it been since you poured your heart out to God? I mean, since you just literally, you wasn't searching for words to say. Hey, brother, you was just begging God for some help. Amen. Hey, it doesn't hurt to ask for help, especially when we got a God who can help. Amen. So we kind of see the spirit of David's prayer here. He's just pouring himself. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. When my spirit was overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? You ever just been to the place where this is just more than I can absolutely bear? That's where David is. David was a man, the Bible said, after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel who played on his harp for King Saul and calmed his spirit. I'm telling you, brother, if that kind of Christian can get to that point, don't think you and I can't. Amen. If that kind of man right there can get to this point, every one of us can. Ain't none of us got a big S on our chest and a cape flying behind us. Amen. We're human. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. Now pay attention on this next verse. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought, say the next two words, very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are, say it, stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I was in the hospital with my daughter Monday night, and I was about as keyed up and tense. My heart was up in my throat when she called me. I was at the farm working with some horses, and she called me, and I answered the phone. I couldn't even understand. I thought she had lost the baby. And I couldn't even understand her. She was hurting so bad. And all I could understand was, where's mama? She wanted her mama. And so anyway, I jumped in the truck and took off. And we went to the hospital. And we got there. And I was kind of taken back when we walked in the room. There were so many sick people. There were people sitting in the waiting room, literally vomiting in the floor. Me and Chase and Katie, we went and stood out in the foyer. We didn't want to be around all that. But that place was packed out. I mean, there wasn't even a place to sit. People were standing in the waiting room. And I guess the people checking in, the patients and all that, the nurses that were working up front, they probably kind of been overwhelmed all day, but none of them were nice. Have you ever been there? None of them. I mean, you're dealing with sick people, man. When you're sick, you rudeness is not a good thing. Amen. I mean, none of them were nice. And I thought, I mean, these people don't care. My daughter's sitting there in labor, 16 weeks pregnant, and they're just blunt and rude. And I thought, man, these people don't care. Then we got back to the mercy room where she could get some help, and the doctor came in, and they kept using this word, viable. Viable. They kept saying the baby's not viable. Now, I didn't understand fully what that meant. And the doctor came in after they did a sonogram. And I asked the doctor, I said, is there something you can give her to stop the contractions? I know they can give a lady medicine to make the contractions come. Can you give her some medicines to make the contractions stop? And he said that word again. The baby's not viable. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, it means if it was born right now, there's no chance it could live. And when he said that, he might as well have poked me in the eye with a stick. He said, we got some medicine to give them, but we don't do it till they're at least 20 weeks along. Because before that, the baby's not viable. He said that again. And boy, I'm boiling. I want to get up and bust this guy in his face. Because what he's telling me is that's not my grandbaby. That's just a blob inside my daughter. No, that's my grandbaby. Amen. I've seen a picture of her.
Amen.
Amen. It's a real living child. We've heard, they've heard her heartbeat. She is alive.
Amen.
And furthermore, I've got a daughter who they said could bleed, literally just bleed to death within minutes. But they don't care. It's not a life to them. It's not a baby to them. Now here stands a medical physician who has the ability to help. But because of this viability rule, this up to 20 weeks, they can't help you till you get 20 weeks along. He has the ability to help, but he don't. Furthermore, I don't think he cares. Do you understand? To some of them quacks and some of them weirdos out there, that's not a baby yet.
Amen.
And they don't care.
Amen.
She went to a specialist last week, and all this has kind of been piling up and making me mad. Hey, it don't hurt you to get a little mad on every now and then. She went to a specialist last week, and they examined her, and they found what the problem was. And here's what he said to her, because she's not far enough along yet. Here's what he said to comfort my daughter. He said, well, look at it this way. You have three kids already. Here are these people who are trained professionals but don't give a good rip. But I'm glad I could step outside that emergency room and I could bow my head and I could talk to somebody who does care. I said, God, they could help my daughter. They could help her, God, but they won't do it because they don't care. I said, God, you care. You said in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. I'm glad tonight there was somebody cared for my baby girl that could help her in her time of need. She called me on the phone today. I said, hey, baby girl, how you doing? She said, Daddy, I'm doing much better. She said, I'm doing much better. I wasn't going to be this blunt, but she said, I'm not bleeding anymore. I said, hallelujah. When I hung on the phone, I just stood in the bathroom. I was getting ready for church. I just stood in the bathroom and cried. I thought, glory to God. I'm glad I serve a God who cares when nobody else cares. Amen. You ever got to a point that you said, who cares? You just threw up your hand and said, who cares? You ever got to a place like David was? David said, I looked on my right and there was no man. I looked on my left and there was nobody. He said, refuge failed me. He said, I didn't have nowhere to turn to. I didn't have nowhere to turn. I didn't have no way to go. I didn't have nowhere to go. Have you ever been there? Get to a place where you just absolutely had no idea what to do? That's where he was. That's where I was Monday night. Man, she called me, boy, my heart jumped up in my throat, my chest started pounding. Boy, it scared me to death. But I'm glad there's somebody who cared.
Amen.
And I want to tell you tonight, there's somebody who cares. You may get to a point where you feel like, no, nobody care about me. Somebody does care about you.
Amen.
One guy told me just recently, he said, my own family don't even care nothing for me. I'm glad there's a bigger family than your family that does care about you and does love you. I'm here to tell you there's a God in heaven tonight who cares about you. He cares about you. Let me give you a few things, or give you a few people that care about you tonight. The Father cares enough to love you. The Father cares enough. God the Father cares enough to love you. There used to be a bumper sticker when I was a kid back in the 70s. It said, smile, Jesus loves you. For a long time, Baptist preachers were afraid to preach on love because of the hippie movement. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but I'm not afraid to preach about the love of God. If it wasn't for the love of God, hey, my daughter could have bled to death Monday night. If it weren't for the love of God, she could have lost that little baby Monday night. Hey, if it weren't for the love of God, hey, she'd be on her way to hell tonight. But thank God, because He loved her. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. And God, I want to tell you tonight, God loves you. Somebody said, preacher, you don't know what I've done, where I've been. Hey, I guarantee you there's somebody in this room done worse than you have. I guarantee you, I can find somebody. If that'll help you, I can find somebody. Somebody said, if I walk into church, a roof will cave in. No, this is a pretty good roof. Because we've had some roof cavers walk the aisles, huh? Amen. Stacy Bullock sitting back there. The roof, you'll be all right. Amen. Jason Crow sitting over here, you'll make it. Warren English is back there. Amen. The roof's fine. Amen. I had a fella tell me on his deathbed, it was old Dexter Steffi. He wound up living 10 more years. Old Dexter looked up in my eyes off his hospital bed, and I was trying to witness to him, and he is an old biker man covered up in tattoos, had hair all the way down to his belt nearly. And boy, he is, I mean, mean man. And finally I got through to him. He was cussing me when I first got there. And I got to talking to him, and I said, man, God loves you, Dexter. He said, God can't love me. He said, I'll be honest with you, preacher, I don't love me. I said, yeah, but when you can't even love yourself, there's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for your soul. David said, no man cared for my soul. You can find yourself there, but you'll never find yourself where no God cares for your soul. Amen. Dexter said, preacher, you don't understand. He said, I'm a biker. He said, I've rode with some pretty bad gangs. He said, I've done some things. He said, I should spend the rest of my days, I should die in prison, but I got away with some stuff. I've done some bad things. I said, let me tell you about some other people that done some bad things. I said, I don't know if you murdered anybody, and I don't want to know. I said, let me tell you about a man named Paul. And I went to the book of Acts and started telling how God saved old Paul on his way to get Christians killed. Amen. He said, God saved that man. I said, God saved that man. And I went on to tell him about some others and what God had did. And he looked up, big old tears rolled down his face. He said, you reckon he had saved me? I said, I reckon he will, Dexter. I got down by his bed and led him to Christ right there in Cobb Hospital. Hallelujah. Why? Because God cares for his soul. Amen. Amen. The Father cared enough to plan for your salvation. To plan for your salvation. You know what the Bible said? Before the foundation of the world, before God even created the earth, He had a plan. Are you listening? He had a plan. Before Adam ever took the fruit in the garden, He had a plan. He cared enough. He hadn't even created you yet. He hadn't even formed man out of the dust of the earth. But He already had a plan in place. And it's a good plan. It's a good plan. It's a plan that worked 2,000 years ago, and it's a plan that still works today. It ain't a 7-step program. It's a 1-step program. You make 1 step toward God, and buddy, He's right there. Amen. I don't care who you are, where you've been. Thank God He cared enough to plan for your salvation. He cared enough not only to plan for your salvation, but He cared enough to provide for your salvation. He cared enough to provide for your salvation. He could have said, the only way for fallen man to get back to me is for my only son to die. But He didn't. He could have said, I'm not giving up my son, but He didn't. He provided the sacrifice that was necessary. I'm telling you, God the Father loves you. He cared enough to plan for your salvation. He cared enough to provide for your salvation. Now watch this. Stay with me real close right here. He cared enough to protect you to salvation. Does that make sense? He cared enough to protect you to salvation. Now, I don't know. I've read a lot of stories and seen a lot of CSI and stuff like that on TV. There's a lot of times, Brother Jason, them drug deals go bad and people get shot and killed. I ain't no telling how many times you were close to death and didn't even know it, and God spared your soul to get you to where you are. Woo! Hallelujah. I remember sneaking in the catfish pond, hearing bullets whiz by my head. Amen. Fishing's more fun when you sneak in. Amen. We used to sneak in one lake. He had a sign on a tree right there at the lake. We'd slip in there at night. It said, God knows you're here. That bothered me. I was lost, and that convicted me every time I read it. He cared enough to protect you, to get you to salvation. Some of y'all that got saved later in life, you ought to be thinking about that right now. Think about all them things you did as a teenager, as a young man, a young lady. All them nights, man. Hey, what about behind the wheel, drunker than a skunk, man? Ain't no way but the grace of God you made it home. Hey, God kept you and watched over you and kept you safe till he got you saved. Amen. God the Father cared enough to love you. Now watch this. Christ cared enough to lay down his life for you. God the Father cared enough to love you. God the Son cared enough to lay down his life in your place. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, the Bible said, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ, the only darling Son of God, left heaven, came to this earth, and became what you and I are. Flesh and bone. Why? That he might give his life, be buried, and rise again, that you might one day become what he is. Amen. John said, we don't know what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen. I don't know what he's like. I'm not really sure, but one of these days I'm going to be just like the Lord, man. I know there's some Christians on earth now, they think they are, but no, you're not. Amen. One of these days I'm going to live in a sinless body. Amen. One of these days I'll never have another sinus infection. I'll never have another headache. Hey, thanks be unto God. Jesus loved me enough to lay down his life for me. I've heard this said my whole life, and I used to not believe it till I got saved. I believe if I'd have been the only one, he loved me that much. He loved me that much. Just a nobody being raised in a little single wide trailer on a dirt road in a divorced home. Hey, I'm glad God cared enough to send a bus worker by and say, right there he is, right there. Hey, I was like Mephibosheth. Hey, Lord said, Jay, go fetch him. And Brother Jay came and put us on the bus and took us to the house of God where we heard about this Jesus who loved me enough that he laid down his life for me. Jesus cared enough to leave heaven for your salvation. Can you imagine? Now, think about it with me. Can you imagine leaving a perfect place, a perfect society where nobody ever hurts, where nobody ever gets divorced, where nobody ever does anybody wrong, where nobody ever gets sick, and where nobody ever dies, and it's a party all the time? I don't mean a wild party. You know what I'm talking about. I mean it's a shouting, hollering, hooping time. All the time. That's all it is. Day in, day out. Can you imagine leaving that and coming here? Man, I watched some news today. And the name of that place has left my head. They seized Yemen. Is it Yemen? Yeah, they seized Yemen today. Took over. Man, we're at war. We're at war. I was talking to Caleb yesterday, and he said they saw that movie, The American Sniper. And he said one point in that movie, he said that sniper guy was at home, and he kind of had the PTSD, and he freaked out on his wife. And he said America is living. He said they're dying. People are dying over there every single day, and America's living like ain't nothing happening. Can you imagine leaving heaven and coming here to this? Man. All these preachers get on TV and said, oh, I had a vision and I went to heaven. Oh, you'd blow your brains out. God let me come to heaven and sent me back. Nah. 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 You'd commit sideways in the morning. Amen. If you got to see what heaven was really like, hey, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. Hey, you got to think about what Jesus left for you. Hey, if you're saved, you ought to shout tonight. Amen. He left a perfect body and entered into the body of an old wretched man. Yeah. How about that? Jesus cared enough about you to leave heaven for your salvation. He cared enough about you to live a perfect life as your sacrifice. To live a perfect life. I got in a debate one day, and I hate that. I hate people want to argue the Bible. The guy asked me a question. He said, God, I asked you a question. I said, all right. He said, could Jesus have sinned? Could Jesus have sinned? I didn't even think about it. I said, of course he could. I didn't say he did. I said he could. If he could not sin, then how was he tempted in all points as we are? After his baptism, he went up on the mountain and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Then the devil came, remember, and did what to him? Tempted him. Yes, he could have. He could have said, stones become yeast rolls. He could have done that, just like the devil tempted him to do. But he didn't do it. Are y'all okay? He lived a perfect life to be your sacrifice. Hey, watch this. Stay with me now. Had he sinned, Calvary wouldn't have counted.
That's right.
Had he sinned, Calvary would not have counted. I'd still be lost. And you'd still be lost. And my little grandmother and granddaddy would be in hell. My daddy would be in hell. My aunt would be in hell. All my loved ones that's gone before, they'd be in hell. Had he sinned. Thank God he didn't. He was our sinless, spotless lamb. He was our sinless sacrifice. Thanks be unto God. He loved you enough to live a perfect life. Oh, he could have sinned multiple times. Just with his mind, he could have killed those that were killing him. Could he not? The Bible said he could have called them legions of angels that had come and avenged him. I guarantee you they're sitting on ready. They're ready to go. I guarantee God the Father was holding them back. Amen. He loved you enough. He loved you enough to leave heaven for your salvation. He loved you enough to live a perfect life as your sacrifice. Jesus loved you enough to lay down his life as your substitute. You see what Jesus did at Calvary? He took my place. I know something about that. I don't know something about dying for nobody, but I know something about getting punished for somebody. My little sister, when we was growing up, when she got a whooping, I mean, my grandmother lived across the pasture, and my sister started screaming bloody murder before mama ever even touched her. Our phone would ring. Granny would say, what's the matter with that baby? And I hated for her to get a whooping worse than anything in the world. I'd cry, not as loud as she did. Amen. I took whoopings for her. I did. Why? You know why? Because I loved her. I loved my little sister. I'd say I done it. She stole one of mama's cigarettes one day. That was yesterday, wasn't it? She stole one of mama's cigarettes one day and slipped up there behind the barn and smoked that cigarette. And mama was going to whoop her till she owned up to it. I said it wasn't Pam. It was me. You know that's what Jesus did? At Calvary, he looked back at every sin of the past. He looked forward to every sin of the future. He looked right where he was and saw every sin of the present. Here's what he said. Father, put it on me. He who knew no sin became sin for us. It was so bad that the heavens grew black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. God did that so he couldn't see the wickedness that was placed on his precious son. He became Jeffrey Dahmer. He became Charles Manson. He became the pedophile. I mean, the grossest sin we could think about. He took every bit of that for us. He took my place. Levi wrote that song, Jesus took my place. When they released old Barabbas, and I imagine it went somehow just like Levi wrote that song. Old Barabbas is walking down the street and they said, hey man, ain't you supposed to be up there with them? He said, man, ain't y'all heard? Jesus took my place. That middle cross was supposed to have been my cross. I imagine old Barabbas looked up and said, I don't know who you are. I thank God for you. Hallelujah. I deserve to die, and I'm not up there. He didn't deserve to die, and there he is, taking my place. The Father cares enough to love you. Jesus cared enough to lay down his life for you. Listen, the Holy Spirit cared enough to convict you. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit cared enough to call you to Christ. I don't believe in salvation outside the Holy Ghost. Some people think it's all in what you say. It's a little prayer. I'm sorry. It's a condition of your heart. I don't think nobody come to Christ except the Spirit drawing. Amen. I believe in old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction where you get really sorry for your sin. Listen, when I got saved, it had nothing to do with heaven. I didn't get saved because I wanted to go. Heaven was an afterthought. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. For the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner without Christ. And if I died, I'd bust hell wide open. And I sincerely believed I was going to die that night. I really did. I thought, if I don't get this thing settled, I'm not going to see daylight. That's how real the conviction was. I remember reading stories about, trying to remember who preached the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards. They said Jonathan Edwards preached that message. And he never left the pulpit. He had it written down, and he just stood there and read it word for word, the whole sermon. They said people were sitting in the pews and holding their feet up off the floor because they were burning. They could feel the flames of hell. They were screaming, oh no, oh no, and people fled to the altar and got saved. You know what that was? That was conviction. You'll never get saved till hell gets real to you. Amen. You'll never get saved. Do you realize there is a place called hell? And if you die without Christ, it's where you'll spend eternity. The Holy Spirit cared enough to convict you and call you to Christ. He cared enough to convict you as a sinner. He cared enough to convince you as a sinner that Jesus was the way. Amen. There's a whole lot of people out here convinced that there's another way. They go in the Muslim way. That's the most retarded religion I ever heard of in my life. We get to go to heaven for killing people? You need to read the Ten Commandments, friend. I'm going to blow myself up and go to heaven and get seven virgins? That's the foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. You got to be on crack rock to believe that. Amen. There's some trying the Mormon way. You got to be on Latter-day Saints. That's reverse that. It's LSD. You got to be on LSD. They're tripping's what they're doing. Amen. Put on their holy underwear and pray. That's stupid, ain't it? And big old Mormon tabernacles, they don't even want to let their members in. You got to be a big shot, and you got to go in there and put on holy underwear. That's true. It's crazy, man. The angel Macaroni came in the middle of the night with some magical sunglasses. They're making up ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The night I got saved, 30 years ago, 31 years ago, hey, the night I got saved, I was convinced that it was Jesus plus nothing else. Church down the street tell you it's Jesus plus baptism. Church down the street the other way will tell you it's Jesus plus speaking in tongues. That ain't even in the Bible. Not one place. Oh, you got to give evidence of speaking in tongues. I worked with a boy at the Board of Education, man. Tore out a frame. He got saved. I mean, I know that boy got saved. And started going to, it's where Brother Latham's church is now. It used to be, it's a Free Will Baptist church. And that boy was going to tongue speaking classes. If the gift of tongues is a gift, y'all okay? If it's a gift, why you got to practice it? I can do it as good as some of them can. They told him he wasn't saved because he hadn't given evidence. Y'all all right? It's Jesus plus nothing, friend. Amen. Are y'all all right? Jesus cared enough. Jesus cared enough to convict us. He cared enough to convince us. He cared enough to come to us personally. How about that? You remember when Jesus came to you? I'm going to talk to me. I love that song. He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Hallelujah. Me. Nobody. Uneducated. Nothing to offer. Nothing to give. He came to me. How about that? And if you're saved, He came to you too. Went out of His way. Brother Freddie, I was thinking, I was preparing this message today. I thought about you, and I could see that big long, all that curly hair, that long hair, and them little John Lennon glasses. And I could just see the Lord. What was your buddy's name?
Joey.
I could just see the Holy Spirit saying, Joey, Freddie Young. Freddie Young. All day long, Freddie Young. Freddie Young. And I can just hear old Joy saying, man, I can't get Freddie off my mind. I can hear Joy telling another friend, hey, pray for me. Freddie's a hard nut, man. That dude's liable to cuss me out. He may want to fight, but I'm going to witness to him. Ain't no telling how many people Joey had praying before he ever got there. He come to Brother Freddie, I don't know the words he said, but he said, can I show you something? First time you ever heard the plan of salvation, trusted Christ as a Savior. He came to you. He came to you. Thank God. He cared enough. Listen, fourthly, I'll hurry up and finish this. The Father cared enough to love you. The Son cared enough to lay down His life. The Spirit cared enough to convict you. Now watch this. The church cares enough to pay the bills.
Amen.
Are you listening? The church cares enough to pay the bills. Hey, we keep the lights on for you.
Amen.
Amen. We keep the lights on for sinners. I heard one preacher say this, and I hear some things, and I don't know, the older I get, the ornerier I get, I guess. I heard a preacher say, sinners have no business in the church. I thought, well, you better go home. What are you doing there? Sinners have no place in the church. We're bringing the world in the church. Duh. Don't bring the world in the church. Go win them out there and then bring them in here. What a stupid thing to say.
Amen.
Y'all all right? Now I'm going to say it again. It's not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners.
Amen.
Thank God. Hey, Matt, I'm glad we didn't call off services Sunday night. I'm glad we didn't decide to quit having church on Sunday night. Matt's boy got saved on Sunday night. Why? Because the church cares enough to be here. Amen. The church cares enough to pay the bills. Amen. We do our best to make it comfortable for you. Amen. Now, some of y'all are diehards. You would come here if there was no padding on the pews. Amen. You love the church that much. Hey, but them sinners coming in, we want to make this place nice for them. Somebody said, I don't see why we spent all that money on that carpet. Make it nice. I don't see why we had to repaint everything. Whole church. Y'all painted the whole church, spent thousands of dollars. Sure did. We sure did. Hey, we got the entire outside of this church painted for a fraction.
Yes, sir, you did.
A fraction of what that would have cost. You ought to shake Roger Bush's hand and thank him. I think we paid him all total like $14,000. That should have been
$100,000.
Amen. Hey, we want to make this place nice for people. We'll make our bathrooms as best. Why'd y'all remodel that men's bathroom? Did you see it before? Amen. Evidently you did not. It was one step above an outhouse. About the only difference is it wasn't outside. You didn't have to leave the building to go to it. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to spend money on this place. Why? Because we want them to feel comfortable when they get here. That's why we got people parking in the grass and people parking across the street. Why? Four cars left here Sunday morning. Which, by the way, we're fixing to appoint some parking lot attendants.
Yes.
Amen. We want to make it comfortable. The church cares enough. The church cares enough to make it convenient for you. We care enough to show concern for you. I'm glad Happy Valley. I can't say we ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Hallelujah.
We're not the uppity, high-class kind of people around here.
That's right.
But we care. We're concerned for our community. We're concerned for your soul. We're concerned for your spiritual well-being. Amen. I'm concerned for your family. We've never done this before. In April 13th, 14th, 15th, I believe it is, I got Brother Tim Fallure coming here. He's a different kind of preacher, but he's going to help you. He's going to help you. We're going to have a revival just on the home and marriage. Amen. I'm tired of counseling. I'm tired of seeing homes split up and watching babies cry. It's sad when the preacher cares more about your marriage than you do. It's sad when the preacher has to hold your crying son because you're not there to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Church loves you, man. Church loves you. Had a disgruntled church member say to somebody else, that church don't care about nobody. Cared enough to keep your lights on several times. People leave upset, get their little feelings hurt over some hard preaching or somebody said something about them. Hey, you don't quit your job when somebody says something about you.
Amen.
Amen. I don't get divorced every time my wife says something about me. She said it to my face. She don't even put it on Facebook. She looks at me right there. Amen. I heard what some lady said. If I'd had a Facebook, I'd have hit her up. I'd have got with Brother Tom and said, go back through your records. See how much money the church gave them over several years when they were hurt. Some of y'all are thinking, I know who he's talking about. I guarantee you don't. Half of you don't even know who I'm talking about. You don't even know them. I'm trying to go back far enough where you can't make it current, okay? So don't go out of here and say, oh boy, Brother Eddie got y'all. No. Tell Brother Tom, go back through and see how much money we gave them and send them a bill. We don't care nothing about you. Here's what you owe.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Help.
This church is concerned, man. Amen. Why are y'all selling them little triangle things? They ain't good for nothing. Yeah, they are. Man, that's an investment.
Amen.
We're concerned for our teenagers.
Amen.
We don't want to bury them.
Amen.
We're going to fight for their souls. Why? We care about them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. The church cares for you. We don't want them in RU. That's exactly right, Brother Jason. We don't want them in our addictions program. Amen. I want them to be like my son. And I ain't putting him up above nobody else. But I ain't never had to go get him out of jail. I ain't never seen him drunk. I ain't never seen him stoned. I ain't never smelled cigarette smoke on him. Amen. I don't think I ever heard him cuss. Yeah, I did too, one time. He is coming out of a coma. He is coming out of a coma. He had an excuse. Amen. I ain't never had to go find him in the middle of the night. Thank God, brother, that's a good testimony. Thank God for the testimonies of those who got off drugs and got off the junk. Thank God for that. But thank God for the one who said, I never went there. Could it be because there was a church that set in place to have a part in his life that cared about it? Amen. You mark her down. If you ain't been around here enough to see it yet, just hang on. Watch some of these bus kids running around here. Wait a few years. Maybe some of them will disappear. And then all of a sudden one day, they'll show up. You know why? They'll remember who cared about them. I got a phone call. You may have heard about the family in Douglasville over child support and income tax. The ex-husband goes to the house, shoots his ex-wife and his four children, with one child screaming, Daddy, please don't shoot me. Daddy, please don't shoot me. Two of those children lived. I got a picture on my phone I'd love for you to see. It's a picture of all four of them children on our bus. They rode the bus to our church. Tell me they didn't need somebody to care for them. I'm telling you, boys, the world is bad. We are all some of those children have. So you be careful if you start to judge one of them because they don't smell right, or they don't look right, or they don't dress right, or they don't act right. They don't know how to act. Living in a zoo would be an upgrade for some of them. Man, I'm glad there's a happy valley.
Amen.
They get on a school bus and they get screamed at all day school. Get to school and they get screamed at all day. And they go home, that's all they hear at home, a bunch of fighting and screaming and yelling. Thank God they come here, somebody put an arm around them.
Amen.
Give them some nachos, cheese on it. Give them some orange juice and a Pop-Tart for breakfast.
Yeah,
feed them lunch before they go home. Yeah, somebody does care.
That's right.
Somebody does care. The church cares enough to make it comfortable, convenient. The church cares enough to show its concern. There's a heavenly host that cares. The Bible said we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a crowd in heaven that cares about you. I guarantee you somebody in this room right now got a grandmother in heaven praying you'll get right.
Amen.
Amen. I guarantee you, when I got saved that night, I guarantee you the Lord let my Granny Fuller, one of the godliest women I ever knew. I bet he said, look down under that pine tree in Jay Bice's front yard. Look what that boy's doing.
Yeah.
Look what your baby's doing. That's what she called me, her baby. I was the first boy born in the family. She buried two. He's born dead. So, boy, when I came along, son, she buried three. When I came along, I was it. I did nothing wrong. That's exactly right. That's why I'm the way I am today. Amen. I was a granny's boy up one side and down the other. Amen. My mama popped me in the mouth one day for back talking her. Granny beat her up. I ain't lying. She started pow, pow, pow. I started slapping. I bit my lip and made it bleed so Granny would have pity on me. I went in the house, my mouth was bleeding. Granny said, baby, what's the matter? I said, mama, slap me. Woo! I felt sorry for mama. There's a crowd in heaven. There's somebody in heaven praying for you. There's somebody in heaven tonight praying for you. Amen. I tell you, somewhere else, there's somebody cares. There's somebody in hell that cares. There's somebody in hell that cares. Remember that rich man dying? He looked over in that gulf and saw the Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he asked for two things. He said, give me a dip of, just a drop of water on my tongue to cool it, for I'm in torment in these flames. He said, and then would you have Lazarus go and tell my brothers not to come where I am? Hey, somebody in hell praying, you'll hear a gospel message and get saved. I don't know, like I said, probably nobody lost here tonight, but this is what God put on my heart. God said, tell them I love them. Tell them I care about them.
Yeah.
Tell them the church loves them and the church cares about them. Tell them there's a crowd in heaven that's praying for them.
Amen.
Tell them there's a crowd in hell that's praying for them. Yeah, somebody cares. Somebody cares. Lastly, and I'm done, you ought to care. You ought to care. A lot of this world, the shape it's in, is because it don't care about itself. Amen. I can't imagine shooting my wife. I mean, I can't. That poor fella that the gun went off accidentally and killed his wife, Jesse's friend. I can't imagine that in 1,000 years. But I'm going to tell you something else I can't even begin to imagine. After that, shooting me. If nobody else cares about me, I do. I'm just being honest. I know the Lord said take no thought for your life, but I do. I like me. Some days I love me. I've never held a gun in my hand and thought, I'm going to put that in my mouth and pull the trigger. I've been depressed. I've been down. I've been heartbroken. I've never... I don't even look at the end of my guns. That's the wrong end. I might shoot somebody if I had to, but it ain't going to be me. Amen. You ought to care about yourself. You ought to be concerned. Let me ask you something. If you fell graveyard dead right now, where would you wake up? You say, I don't believe you do wake up. Well, that rich man did. The Bible said the rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Let me put that in our vernacular. He went to sleep over here and woke up down there. Heard about the old man that died. Before he died, he told his wife, he said, when I die, I want you to put all my money in the attic where I can grab it as I go. He died, and somebody asked, said, did you put his money in the attic? She said, no, I put it in the basement. Listen, you ought to care enough about yourself. Amen? Listen. You ought to care if you've got a lost loved one. If you're saved and you've got a lost loved one, you ought to care. Amen. Amen. If you've got a lost parent, we've been praying for Brother Freddie's dad for 17 years. Brother Freddie's been praying for him for longer than that. I don't know. There's something weird inside me thinks he's saved, and we just don't know it. I don't know if you get that feeling. I just do. But I still pray for him. I still pray for him. Amen. If you've got a lost parent, you ought to pray for them. Amen. Amen. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be the parent and then the children. You ought to pray for them. If you got a lost partner, a lost spouse, you ought to pray for them. There ain't no chance he's watching on the internet, is there? We've been praying for Sister Angie Truelove's husband. I've been praying for him. I don't know how long I've known y'all. 15 years. I've been praying for Jimmy Truelove. Amen. I've went out of my way over and over and over to be friendly to him and nice to him when he wasn't friendly and he wasn't nice. Yeah. Why? I care for his soul. If he called me and needed me in the middle of the night, I'd be there. He's my buddy, but he's not saved. You ought to care. This church as a whole ought to care. Amen. Ought to care. You ought to care. You ought to care for yourself. You ought to care for your parent. You ought to care for your partner. Any lost part of your family, you ought to care. The next time you say, make this statement, who cares? I want you to remember this.
Amen.
God the Father cares.
Amen.
God the Son cares.
Yeah.
I know you can get to a place, even as a Christian, when you feel like God don't care.
Right.
But He does. He never stops loving you. He never stops caring for you, not for one second. God cares. He cares so much that He loved you. The Son cared so much that He laid down His life for you. The Holy Spirit loved you so much that He convicted your heart and showed you as a sinner. The church cares enough to pay the bills and make this place for you to come and hear the gospel. There's a heavenly host that cares. There's a bunch in heaven that cares. And then lastly, you ought to care. And we as a whole, we ought to care. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Now listen, this is not a... Brother John, would you come? This is not a normal Sunday night thing. Brother Charles, come find just as I am. This is not a normal Wednesday night thing, but I'm going to give an invitation. Lord, this has been on my heart. I really did. I thought this was for Sunday.